Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Thank you, David. Yes, sir.
Janet, before you get started, I saw something interesting while I was watching some of the sports this afternoon. There's they call it a campaign to bring people to Jesus. Considering all of the crud that's on TV, it was kind of, I didn't pay any attention to it at first, and I said, wait a minute, it's actually a commercial for Jesus. And it says that it's a, their slogan is, He Gets Us. Mm-hmm. And I'd say how they talk about some people that were wrongly accused and persecuted, and all the time they were doing good. And then it said Jesus, the same thing happened to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then it says He gets us. Mm-hmm. He gets all of us.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I appreciate you bringing that up. I'll keep an eye out for that. Chronological study of the Bible. We're in Proverbs chapter 14, beginning with verse 19. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. This is one of the Proverbs that don't have polar opposites. They're both the same, saying the same thing. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Before we make too many assumptions, we've got to clarify what is evil and what is wicked. If we don't know what evil and what wicked is, then we're not going to know who the good and the righteous are. Well, I submit to you this. Everybody is on one side or the other. Everybody. Either you are evil or you're good. Either you are wicked or you are righteous. That is the absolute center line between two sides. It's not the really, really bad people over here bowing before the really, really good people over here and us just hanging out and enjoying the show. That is not what's saying at all. The evil are those who do not seek Jesus. It's as simple as that. The good are those who do seek Jesus. Simple as that. The wicked are those who do not seek Jesus. Simple as that. The righteous are those who do seek Jesus. Simple as that. Now, there are a lot of different categories of seeking Jesus. There's a lot of different categories of not seeking Jesus. But it is a razor-thin line, and we are all on one side or the other. Making even small decisions that do not seek Jesus leads into difficulty in every case. Making even small decisions. I'm talking about, where should I eat lunch? Where should I eat lunch? Even small decisions that do not seek Jesus leads into difficulty in every single case. I'm living proof of that. Okay? You don't get a gut like this by asking Jesus where you want me to go eat lunch. You just, it's very, very basic. Seeking Jesus or not seeking Jesus. Do not let fear turn us into people who bypass Jesus. Ray read a passage, not what was in the bulletin, I changed it, sorry about that, Bonnie, but Ray read a passage, take no thought for the morrow. What was that? How did it go exactly?
Just a second.
Man. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Something, I can't remember exactly what it was.
Matthew 6. I think it was the last chapter. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Who said that?
That's Jesus.
Jesus said that. Jesus said that. Take no thought for the morrow. That means don't worry about tomorrow. I'm going to be straight with you. Yes, sir. Huh? Huh? It's fine. My wife's taking care of me. Thank you for that. I'm going to be straight with you. When I found out that Dad was buying a house in Winter Garden, I thought, what in the world are you doing? And I began to think, what about this? And that verse came to my mind. Take no thought for the morrow. What should I do with this? Should I get upset? Should I say, Dad, I don't know if that's going to be a good idea or not. And it occurred to me, he's 85 years old. Instead of this news, we could have been hearing that he had a heart attack. He's dead. What then? We should be ready for whatever tomorrow holds.
That's right.
With the Lord's help. With the Lord's help. Do not let fear turn us into people who are evil. Do not let fear turn us into people who are wicked. Not terribly, terribly evil. Just people not seeking Jesus. People who say, Jesus, I know you said that, but I'm going to anyway. Hurricanes. We've had a lot of emotional impact over the past several weeks. A lot. And if we're not careful, we will let fear turn us into people that have no God. We will be people that are afraid of everything. And we will try to tell people about Jesus, but he's not going to mean a whole lot because we have figured out a way to work around him. That's not who we are. Do not let fear turn us into people who bypass Jesus. What does God want me doing right now? That's the only question we ask. What does God want me doing right now? And then do it. And you'll be surprised how things work themselves out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's really very simple if we will get rid of what if. Jesus is going to be there. He's going to. If he doesn't, then we're in the wrong business anyway. The evil bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Ultimately, this is fulfilled in Romans 14:11. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. Now, who's speaking there? God. God is saying, every knee is going to bow to me. Now, watch this. In Philippians 2:10, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Who's that talking about? That's talking about Jesus, who is in fact God.
Yep.
Okay? There are so many places where Jesus clearly is stated to be God, and people still have a problem with him being God. I don't understand it. This is a really, really excellent place to show that Jesus is in fact God.
Hey,
start now. Start bowing now. Start saying, Jesus, whatever you want, that's fine. Jesus, whatever you want, that's fine. You want me to have a pastor in my garden? Fine. You want me to have a pastor that's dead? Fine. Scary? Take no thought for the morrow. You see how it all works? It all just falls right into place if we will look at Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm seeking you. I'm not seeking me, I'm seeking you. Verse 20. The poor is hated of his own neighbor. Hatred is an action. Hatred is the opposite action of love. Neither love nor hatred are feelings. Now we've got to get that clear in our head. Love is patient, love is kind. Hatred is impatient, hatred is unkind. How is it most often revealed? The poor is hated. How is that hatred most often revealed? One simple word. Gossip. Gossip is the number one way to show hatred to someone else. Gossip destroys churches more than anything else. Gossip destroys families more than anything else. And gossip makes millions and millions and millions of dollars off of reality TV because it's all wrapped around so-and-so said this. And they're all mad at each other because of it. I want to encourage you, fight talking about someone if they're not right there. Wait, can I use you as an illustration? Thank you, I appreciate the permission. After the morning service, Wade's here, I'm here. Wade said, how's that going to work out on Sunday afternoon? I said, that's a good question for Dad. He said, well, I just thought you would know. I said, I do know. Go to the source. Okay? If you got a question about Dad and what he's planning to do, talk to Dad. By all means, don't talk to each other. Why? Well, I think this is going to happen. I think this is going to happen. Now, I don't know how that's going to work. How that's going to work. And all of it goes back to take no thought for tomorrow. Okay? He will answer. Gossip destroys. It destroys. But the rich hath many friends. This is not a good thing.
True.
The rich have many friends. This is not a good thing. Why? Many wealthy people are lonely because they know these friends are not real.
Yeah.
They're not real. Dad was talking about a man today, very wealthy. And I asked Dad, I said, would you want what he has? No. Absolutely not. Okay? You don't know who your friends are when you got a lot of money. You don't know who your real friends are because everybody loves you when you got money. But it's not a feeling, it's an action. They're kind to you because they want what you have, and as soon as it's gone, you realize they were never my friend in the first place. This is why there's so many divorces in Hollywood amongst celebrities, is they realize this person's with me for what I can get them. Even in marriage, it's terrible the things that happen just because somebody has money. Be thankful that you don't have enough money where people are around you just to get some of it. By the way, you're not going to believe this. I was shocked. We found out Dad bought the house. There's three kids left in the family. One of the three asked, who gets the house when you die? Can you believe that?
Why do you know, Danny?
Because I want the house. Yes, it was me. It says the rich have many friends, does it not? Suddenly he's got a house? Hey, I'm your best friend. Don't forget who's driving you back and forth on Sundays, okay? Just so we're clear on that. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. Again, this is an action, not a feeling. I don't have to like my neighbor. In fact, I don't like my neighbor. I don't like most of you. I don't like myself. If I was God, I'd burn the whole thing up and just go with the angels and be happy with no sin. Well, not even angel sin. So I would have to go back to just me and Jesus and just leave the bad out. Okay? I don't like people. That's what makes me a terrible, terrible person to hold the office of pastor. A pastor's got to care about his people. I don't. I care about God's Word. He that despiseth his neighbor. Despising is just like hating. It's the opposite of love. He that's not kind, he that's not patient, he that's not gentle. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. Falls short. He falls on the left side of the center line of seeking Jesus. But what if your neighbor deserves it? What if your neighbor deserves it? Let's suppose that this morning Dad got up here and Dad said, you know what? I'm tired of Arcadia. I'm moving. Good luck. I'm out. What kind of a pastor would he have been? How would you feel? Would he be worth despising?
No.
No. Even if he went to that extreme, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. Previously, Solomon has already taught, Proverbs 3, verse 28, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee, whether he deserves it or not. Proverbs 11, 9, Solomon's already taught, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered, whether they deserve it or not. Proverbs 11, 12, he that's void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Solomon is holding his students, Solomon is holding us accountable for what we have already learned. And this is something we must remember. Proverbs, week to week to week, are very similar, and if we're not careful, they'll get very boring. But if we don't put them into action, we're sinning. If we don't put them into action, we are sinning. When is the biggest, most important time to put Proverbs into action? When you're afraid. The book of Proverbs will prevent you from making terrible mistakes if you'll simply do what Scripture says. Scripture says I do this, but I'm scared. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Alicia, could I share what you told me earlier? Yes, thank you. Alicia's got a fear of water, particularly after the hurricane. Okay? She says, I'm nervous for tomorrow because Jason's going back to work. I said, why are you nervous? She said, well, because of the hurricane. I said, the hurricane's gone. She says, I know, but I still have my days. I said, we all have our days. We have to fight them. That's why we have a Bible. We have a Bible that tells us that don't worry about tomorrow. Just don't do it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be taken care of. He that despises the neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Real mercy, not paying them to go away. Again, I'm going to be very, very straight with you. I think that you deserve that. One of the things that I hated, and I'm talking hated about being a pastor, was when someone would walk in the door and you know what they want. They want a handout. How do you answer those people? Typically, we pay them to go away. Typically. I got 20 bucks. That's all I got. I'm sorry. Now leave. Leave. That's not showing real mercy. Some people need more help than we can give, and that's true. I had a lady call me when I was pastoring years ago, told me she had a gun in her hand and she needed help. In my foolishness, and I mean straight up foolishness, I got in my car and went where she was at. What should I have done? Anybody know? What would you do? Call the police. You call 911. You don't go where there's a gun, particularly with someone who's holding a gun that's obviously unbalanced. You call the police. Say, well, that just seems very cold, Danny. You should give her whatever you have. I'm going to show you a picture that's a little comical, but it's exactly that situation. That monkey cannot help that elephant. He can't do it. However, that monkey has a voice that can tell that elephant you need to go the other direction. It's better if it happens before the elephant lets loose.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? But the bottom line, watch this. Whoso hath this world's good, do you have it or not? If they're having a heart attack, I don't have what they need. I don't have it. I'm calling 911. If someone walks in the door wanting help, I'm going to try to figure out how they got where they are and how they're going to get back to where they need to be. If I'm just interested in hearing that, I'm sorry, I don't have what you need. Okay? But to just give them $20 and send them on their way, all you're doing is helping them stay in the same position that they are.
Right.
He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Now, I know I bring this up a lot. Solomon brings it up a lot. I kind of wish he'd back off of it because I think we've covered this pretty clearly on how we're supposed to handle the poor. Have real mercy. And if you're not going to have real mercy, at least be truthful with them and say, you know what, I really don't care about you. I would prefer you just leave me alone. That would be the honest thing to do. Whoso hath this world's good, if you do have what they need, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If we do have what they need. I'm going to cut close to the bone. Dad moving to Winter Garden is something we can give him. We can say, preacher, it may be a little difficult, but we're going to do our best to help you do that. Whoso hath this world's good, we can say, you know what? I'm able to call you if I need to call you, even in Winter Garden.
Right.
Yes. I'm okay with you going to Winter Garden. So you know what? I'm able to fill in on Wednesdays. Yes, I'll help you go to Winter Garden. I'm able to drive you every weekend. Yes, I'll help you go to Winter Garden. Whoso hath this world's good. Is this something that he thinks he needs? Obviously. Is this something that he's earned? Yes. Is this something we have to give? Yes. And I think it's appropriate for us to do whatever we can to help make it happen. I must determine ahead of time what I should do when a situation arises. That should say A, not B. I must determine ahead of time what I should do when the situation arises. My family met with Dad, and my sister Elizabeth is just, she's over the moon. She thinks this is just the best thing that ever happened in the whole history of the world. And I'm much, much, much more cautious about the whole thing, trying to figure it out, the logistics and all that kind of stuff. And one of my sisters said to me, you're being awfully quiet. What do you think about this? I must determine ahead of time what I should do when the situation arises. I'll be honest with you, I did not see this coming at all. It was the farthest thing from my mind. What I did see coming, he's 85 and it's coming to an end. I did see that coming. And so I said, listen, I said, I knew it was coming. I didn't know this was coming, but I knew it was coming. And I am ready to step up and do whatever he needs me to do. Simple as that. Why? I thought it through ahead of time. I am well aware that Winter Garden is not going to be the thing that takes him from us. It's death that's going to take him from us. All right? This is just a little bump. We need to decide ahead of time what we should do when the situation arises. When? Wednesday nights. Ray, wait. Someone walks in on Wednesday night and they're wanting a handout. Guess who gets to talk to them? I'm going to give you a hint. One of y'all has to make the determination of whoso hath this world's good. How do I help this person? You cannot just turn them away. You can't do it. How are you going to answer it? You need to know ahead of time. Be ready for it. Okay? Find out how they got where they are and what it's going to take to get them back. And if they need more than you can give, be honest. We don't have what you need. Point number 211. 211 is wonderful for helping people in need. Wade knows about 211. Okay? They do have. 211 has what they need. 211 is basically 911 for people in grave difficulty. Let's do another one. Wednesday night. Preacher walks in. I'm so-and-so from Kalamazoo, Michigan. I'm a Baptist preacher. All right, brother, come on up. We'd love to have you preach for us. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay? Scripture tells us as leaders to shepherd the flock of God, which means that on Wednesdays, you guys are the shepherd. You're not the great shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. You're the guys that has to protect this group of people to the extent that you can. And worst case scenario, you pick up the phone and say, hey, let's call the preacher and see what he thinks. Maybe it is somebody he knows. Here's a good one. Such and such a group comes in. We're singers. We want to sing for you tonight. What do you say?
No.
Shepherd the flock of God. You say, Danny, this is silly. If you don't think it through ahead of time, you're not going to know what to do when the pressure hits. Think it through. Whoso hath this world's good, he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. What does God want me to be doing? If I don't think about it ahead of time, I may, in the pressure, make a mistake. And we don't need that. There's no reason for us to be in a situation where we've got an elephant coming at us just because we thought, hey, I'm a monkey, I can swing. All right? There are things that we cannot do for everybody. We just saw in verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. He's not scared. He respects evil. He respects the potential of a problem coming up, and he avoids the problem ahead of time. The fool rageth and is confident. I got this. You know who said that? Danny King is pastor at Parkridge Baptist Church, and the phone rang, and there's a gun on the other end. That's who said that. Do they not err that devise evil?
Duh.
Do they not err or do wrong that devise evil? But we try to cut corners all the time. It'd be easier to do it this way. That's devising to do evil. Take no thought for tomorrow. But it's easier to worry. I have my days. You fight those days. Do they not err that devise evil? It's not just the really, 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 really evil. Those that don't seek Jesus run into a brick wall every single time.
Right.
We all see it in our families' lives, in our coworkers' lives, people having difficulty they should not have. Do they not err that devise evil? Don't become one of them. Don't give in to the emotion. Don't give in to the fear. Don't give in to the laziness. Don't give in to the selfishness. I will not take my eyes off of Jesus. What Jesus says do, that's what I'm going to do. If it gets me in trouble, so be it. So be it. But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. What is devising good? It's the same thing as devising evil, but good is the result. I'm planning on doing good. I'm planning on supporting my pastor. That's devising good. I'm planning on doing what I can to help him or Ramona out. That's devising good. I'm planning on doing what I can to help the church out when they're not here. That's devising to doing good. Mercy and truth. Anybody want mercy and truth? That's how you get it. That's how you get it. The Proverbs are very, very practical. Do the work. Do the work. It'll pay off. In all labor there is profit. That does not say in all labor there is money. Because there's not money in all labor. In fact, since this was written, there have been millions of people enslaved, but did experience profit in their labor. How? Even if we are working for free, there are benefits to our mind, to our body, and benefits to relationships. Some of the strongest people there are the people who have had to work the hardest in their lives because they had to stay strong. Some of the weakest people that there are have had it easy their whole life. There is benefit, there's profit in all labor, especially mental labor. Especially mental labor. When I do the work to learn God's Word, when I need it, the Spirit will give me what I need. On the other hand, if I sit back and just wait for the problem to arise and then think, I'm scared. What do I do now? That's a position we should never have to be in. We should never have to be in that position. What does God want me doing right now? That's something we should always be very, very conscious of. What does God want me doing right now, regardless of what the situation is? In all labor, there is profit. Why is this happening? It is good. Okay, this is literally Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. In all labor, there's profit. It's the same concept. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. That's not perjury, that's penury. What is penury? Penury is poverty. The talk of the lips tendeth only to poverty. Our jaws don't need more exercise.
Amen.
They just don't. But we get scared. We get selfish. And those two things drive flapping lips. Unless we're talking about Jesus. Our jaws do need more exercise if we're talking about Jesus. No doubt, if this doesn't happen, I'll be shocked. Okay? Word is going to get out in the city of Arcadia that the pastor at Temple Baptist Church don't even live in Arcadia. You think people is going to talk about that? Oh yeah, they're going to talk about that. What? Your pastor is doing what? And you're letting him do that? What a wonderful opportunity. Say, well, Jesus says not to worry about tomorrow. Jesus said to support our pastor. Jesus said this and Jesus said that. What a wonderful opportunity to take difficulty and point it back to Jesus. Point it back to Jesus. I submit to you that's one of the primary reasons we have difficulty is just so we can point to Jesus. We don't have to have Jesus if there's no difficulty, there's no problem, there's nothing that we need an answer for. Use the opportunity. The talk of the lips can be very, very prosperous. They can be very, very profitable if we will use it in the correct way. What did I just do? Okay. Turn in 369. This time for us to take a little music break. 369. Break thou the bread of life.
Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. As thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me. As thou didst bless the bread by Galilee, then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my whole in all.
Just so you know, he's talking about the Word of God. These are benefits of the Word of God. Third verse.
Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love. O send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed I see the Lord.
Father, I have tried very, very plainly to share your word tonight. Thank you for Proverbs. Thank you for the practical wisdom that's there. But Father, help us to remember, if we don't do it, we're sinning. Father, I thank you for the things that have happened over the past few weeks. The hurricane, this decision by Dad, and I thank you that you have it all completely under control. And you're not going to let anything happen that you don't want to happen. Thank you for the peace that that brings. Holy Spirit, I'm praying that you will take what we've heard here today, both this morning and tonight, and use it in our hearts to give us peace, to give us hope, to give us direction. Thank you that you are real. It's not just a game. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.